Now on Country Life, we're meeting a Dairy New Zealand climate change ambassador. It's quite a fancy-sounding title, isn't it? Susan Murray went to meet this dairy farmer and she compiled this report.
When this tractor rolled off the production line, the Second World War was thankfully in the previous decade. And on farm, there was, listen to this, technological innovation and scientific agricultural research. That's from Te Ara, the Encyclopedia of New Zealand. These were going to be good times. And for some time, they were. Things took a bit of a dive in the early 1980s, but then, between the mid-1980s and 2007, on dairy farms, cows increased from 2.2 million to 5.2 million. Farmers were being told to intensify, apply nitrogen, get grass growing, and boost the number of cows to the hectare. And so, by this next tractor's fifth birthday last year, we had 6.1 million dairy cows. But amongst the moos, there was also a hum of angst. Environmental damage and climate change, emissions from dairy farms, they were the hotspots. But, says Eastern Bay of Plenty dairy farmer Fraser McGugan, these are challenges to be met. He's Dairy NZ's new leader of the three-year-old Climate Change Ambassadors Group, and he says it is a time of opportunity. Climate change is not a threat.
If you embrace it and work with the people who have got some of the answers, it's really neat. It's just our time to do some work in this issue. Yeah, it's about giving back to the industry and giving back to New Zealand. It's not about me. It's about something which is bigger than me, and that's climate change. And it's not about even our farm. It's not even about our region. It's actually about our country and our place in the world. So having a bigger point of view, yeah, if I can make even a small difference and help enable people to make some choices which will enable us to be around for another million years, that would be awesome.
And just was the case in the 1950s, Fraser says it will be technological innovation and scientific research that helps farmers meet these climate change targets.
We're going to need a significant investment in research and development and technology that hasn't probably been stated. And the capability to do that is going to have to be ramped up, and we're going to definitely need a lot of funding. There's a lot of ideas, but you need to validate them. You can't just try things and have them fail. We need to have some sound research and development behind things. Climate change wasn't at forefront of news 5 years ago or 10 years ago, so now it is, and now we actually have things which, yeah, we will have to do, but we also need that research and technology to be ramped up.
Now let's roll that tractor back down the ramp. What exactly are climate change ambassadors?
There's actually 12 of us, or 13 in total, on the chair at the moment, but we're farmers who have been interested in climate change and the effects which we'll have on dairy farming, and most all of us are actually dairy farmers. So we've actually been together for about 3 years, and we've been kind of building up our knowledge and discussing amongst ourselves. But yeah, we've got a group of motivated people who want to enable adaptation of climate change policy, and where farmers sit in that space.
And presumably put a farmer voice forward when decisions are made, but also promote it to your two farmers to say this is what needs to happen and that sort of thing.
Yes, like there's the work which you have to do with government and other stakeholders in providing sound and robust feedback to these decisions and trying to get a balance which suits everyone, but also enabling other farmers to get information so they can go about these change, and providing them with a source of information but also a sounding board so they can ask us questions and we can find out the answers. So we've got the scientific backing of Dairy NZ and the ability of people who are able to do a lot of the research, which we can't do while we're on farm. But then I'll be hosting a focus farm on our farm about climate change at one stage in April, and then we've got ongoing webinars and information transfer amongst other farmers.
And in the 3 years, To what extent have you noticed a change in general farmers' attitudes towards accepting that climate change is here and things need to be done?
I think and when I started, there was definitely a lot of climate change deniers. Not a lot in farming, but in general. But now people are becoming more and more accepting as it's becoming more and more publicised, and also we're being encouraged to engage with the Paris Accord, which New Zealand has signed up to. This isn't just a simple solution. There's a lot of different steps which can be taken. You also have to be aware of ramifications of putting certain criteria on certain things. Are you just changing a problem to some different area? Are you implicating more problems in freshwater by doing something else? So you have to get that balance right. And the freshwater regulations have come through, and they've actually been a really good start for this climate change action. And so a lot of the things which people are doing on farm for freshwater actually are having side benefits for climate change and positive benefits. But yeah, it's a lot of little steps, and the hard thing is knowing where to start. And so we've got Know Your Numbers.
More on that aspect in a moment. But Fraser McGugan's numbers are his 140-hectare Taniatua farm has been in his family for 120 years. He and his wife Catherine run 430 cows.
It's a journey, and like I don't really see myself as owning a farm. We're only going to be here for a short period of time in the scheme of things, and you just look around us at Te Uruwera National Park, and it's its own living entity, and it will choose who and what looks after it. It's a bit bigger than us, and that's the thing with climate change. This is only a small step in probably a bigger picture.
You as a farmer though, so you've been here, you grew up on this farm, fourth generation. How have you changed what you do practically on farm because of what is now becoming known to us about climate change and about waterways?
So my father, he did a lot of fencing of all the waterways, and this is going back probably 50 years, and that's simply because he was aware of water quality and also practical implications of it, of not losing stock. It's probably just learning from little things like that. So now we've taken things a little bit further and we've done a bit more planting. We've regenerated native bush areas and we have quite large setbacks. But you won't be able to see this, but here we're standing, we're typically underwater in a big flood. And so we actually have to work with our environment and how we do that. So we're planting more and more trees. Like you can never plant enough, but as we get warmer and more extreme weather events, they kind of become more and more important. And typically a February day here, it's actually pretty warm. So we're getting up to 26s, 28s. So shade is becoming more important. And so that's probably what got me on the journey to becoming a climate change ambassador, was I was aware of our changing environment and much rather be getting the information and making really good choices. Because I know on farm things are happening, our pasture species are changing, our seasonality is changing. Yeah, what can we do to enable us to still be here sustainably for the future?
And to what extent has your focus changed from, say, how much money can I make off this land to being more environmental about how you view things?
Probably the natural progression when you take over a farm is that you have to produce milk and make money. So as we've been able to service debt and that's become less of a burden, we've actually been able to change our focus. But we definitely have gone through like a life cycle, if you could say, of producing milk and then making the business sustainable. People used to say that you have to be in the black to be green. But then now I'm starting to challenge it and say maybe you have to be in the green to be black.
Right, so that that has helped your bottom line, has it?
Yeah.
Being more environmental.
Yes, it's just efficiencies. It's not losing nutrients out of our system. It's being more specific about our fertiliser application on individual paddocks and then inside those individual paddocks. And that's uptaking technology to enable us to make these changes. So we do individual paddock soil sampling, and it's understanding our soils. Like our soil is our biggest asset on this farm, closely followed by people. People are really right up there too, and it's how you treat people.
And it's about, as Fraser said before, understanding and knowing your numbers, knowing what your greenhouse gas emissions are.
Because once you know that, it's like your bank balance. You can then start to focus on things which will make an improvement on it. Like there's going to be a raft of information, I believe, which will be coming out, and it all quantifiable. So it might be planting plantain. Some farmers may not grow it, but if you can choose these different things, if you know what your numbers are to start, you can then start choosing some results. It might be decreasing your stocking rate. Yeah, no one size fits all, but you're just having those opportunities out. And looking at this paddock here, it might be planting more clover.
Mm.
And so your natural fixation of that, or planting shelter butts and trees.
Look, all these things, though, they cost a farmer time and money that the rest of us, maybe that live in the city, aren't being asked to commit to. What do you think about that, or what impact does that have on how you view things?
Probably an example would be that we just put in a new effluent system in the last year, and we didn't need to do it. We're inside our consents. It's a good almost $200,000 to go to ultra-low volume application of effluent. And so it's about trying to do better than what's recommended. Some of these things are really big expenses, and I think that with change you get those. So staging those over a period of time is actually helpful. But there's always new technology coming out, so trying to stay on top of it, yeah, it's a challenge, and you need just really to embrace it and have a decent go at engaging with it, but being aware that there's always financial pressures on everyone and time pressures. I don't think town people are any different to country people in those regards. Everything which is new can be frightening, but when you've got a group of people doing it together, it's actually a lot easier.
Tāne Atua farmer Fraser McGugan.